Lecture 12, Judaism and Others.
Almost all our lectures have addressed Judaism from within, how Judaism explains itself, and the various tensions within the Jewish community. In this lecture, I'd like to take up one issue that is crucial for the development of Judaism, not only in its own eyes, but in the eyes of others as well. And that is the relationship of Judaism to others. The tension between universalism and particularism, that is to say, between a God who created the world and the God who is the God of Israel, this tension is a constant factor already in the Bible. Similarly, while Israel as a people were commanded to remove themselves from the abominations of an idolatrous world, they were also designated to fulfill a role as a light unto the nations, at least according to the prophets. So that's no mean feat. On the one hand, to remove yourself from the nations of the world so as not to be contaminated, but on the other hand, to serve as a beacon to the nations of the world. So you're distancing, and yet you're doing just the opposite at one and the same time. And these dual attributes are crucial for understanding Judaism's variegated relationships with others. The biblical notion of the election or the choosing of Israel by God has been a constant source of ongoing interpretation and sometimes very unpleasant accusations. The idea of a universal salvation through the adherence to Judaism is totally absent. Judaism never claimed that others can be saved only if they join the ranks of Judaism. In general, this whole idea of a salvation does not exist really in Judaism. And as a result, active missionizing had never and has never become a factor within the Jewish community in its relationship with others. On the other hand, the ethnic component of Judaism did not represent an impenetrable barrier, and converts were happily accepted. And this discussion, I think, will bring us full circle again to the topic of our first lecture. Is Judaism a faith? Or is it an ethnicity, or is it both? The God of the Bible, as we said, is both the creator of the world and the God of Israel, the God who redeemed the people of Israel from Egypt. This dual role presented the potential tension, a potential tension between the force of universalism and the force of particularism within Judaism. If God, and the questions are obvious. If God is master of the world, why should one group have been singled out for a special relationship? God should be above this. Even the story of Abraham in Genesis does not explain why Abraham was initially approached by God and told to leave his homeland. God approaches Abraham, we don't know anything about him. And it's only after God approaches him and tells him, leave your homeland to a land that I shall tell you, it's only then that we find that Abraham is a man of faith. Why he was chosen is unknown. And similarly, when God declares at Sinai, you, meaning Israel, shall be a special treasure to me above all people, that's in Exodus chapter 19, so if they are a treasure, above all people, where did that leave all the others? Now, the prophet Isaiah seems to have addressed this problem. And his explanation was to redefine the nature of Israel's election, or choice, or selection. Israel, he suggests, was chosen for a universal purpose. So that, in fact, the focal point is not Israel, it's the rest of the world, it's the universe. And he says that God, who created the heavens, called you, meaning Israel, in righteousness, as a light to the nations to open blind eyes. That's in Isaiah 42, verses 5 to 7. So the prophet, he already realized that there was a problem, and he tries to solve it by saying, yes, you were chosen, but you're not really the object of the choice. It's others. You're a means. You're a conduit, as it were.